Good morning, Arizona homeowners. Welcome to Rosie on the House, where we're talking about my fourth favorite thing in the whole world, backyards, backyard barbecues, backyard home entertainment systems, backyard central kitchen areas and greeting and meeting areas. We just live in our backyard. That's why we live in this perfect state for that kind of environment. We're trying to talk about the things that you can do to increase the comfort and the usability of those particular areas. We have Nathan Angel, Senior Sales Representative of Belgard here. Nathan, I have not thanked you for taking time out of your family time and showing up and bringing on the broadcast this Saturday. I know weekends are family, and we're robbing that from you.
Oh, my pleasure to be here. I love to talk about what I do, and it's a real passion of mine. So any chance I get to talk to a bunch of people at once, I love it.
Well, we've been talking about barbecuing and outdoor environments for the last hour. Share with us. I know you cook quite a bit. What's like your favorite when you fire that grill up in the backyard? What are all the kids waiting to come off of it?
Oh, anything from whole turkeys to, but I think my favorite thing is a full like pork butt.
Okay.
Low and slow for a long time, and then it just falls apart. We love to take my homemade barbecue sauce and just make our own pulled pork sandwiches. And
well, talk about that pork butt here a little bit. So you've got it, and then is there any kind of a rub or a seasoning or a preparation prior to going on the grill?
Yeah, do a nice rub on it. Okay. A lot of paprika, a lot of cumin. Really try to break out some of those southwestern flavors on it.
Okay.
Rub it and gets all cracked. It's really good if it's got a nice big fat cap on top of it.
Okay, all
so
right.
You cut into that and you get that rub all down in there.
Okay,
and that fat cap eventually starts to melt down in there and keep the pork butt nice and juicy.
And say you're cooking it slow. Tell me what slow is. I mean, it's on the grill for an hour and a half, 2 hours.
It's closer to 2.5 hours.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Depending on the size of the roast, yeah, absolutely. And you keep it indirect, so I've got four burners. I keep the two outside on high usually,
okay,
and then the two in the middle are completely off.
Off. And you're basting it occasionally?
I don't touch it.
Oh, you don't?
I don't touch it.
You put that rub on and give it the two and a half hours till it falls apart, and then boom, she's coming off for pulled pork sandwiches.
Amen.
You like pulled pork sandwiches on top of a little coleslaw on your bun or not?
I am not a big coleslaw fan on the bun. I'm not. I'm sorry.
And I thought that was the only way to eat a barbecue sandwich. Romy and I were at lunch with somebody yesterday, and he ate the whole sandwich except the coleslaw. And I thought, well, what is that about?
Keep the pork dry, but the coleslaw wet and right on top. I'm not a big fan of saucing my pulled pork. Smoke it dry, dump the coleslaw, put the bun on. That's all you got to do.
Isn't it amazing the different flavors as you learn where people are from? You know, Midwest, St. Louis, where I'm from, everything is wet. You know, we are huge barbecue sauce fans.
Yes, saturated, saturated. And then you've got the sweet or you got the vinegar base.
Yep,
sweet.
Yeah,
could go either way. You're a sweet guy.
Sweet.
Okay.
Get that brown sugar going in it.
Well, you know what? When the kids were growing up, they thought I was the best barbecue chef on the planet. And I would just go to our Safeway store and I would buy three of the cheapest Kraft barbecue sauces you can. Just the generic Kraft, three bottles for 99 cents. Bring it home, put it in a bowl, put about a half a cup of brown sugar, mix it in there, and we'd do the barbecue chicken like that. And we did it every Sunday afternoon. Every Sunday was barbecue chicken. And they thought I was like the chef barbecue supreme, and it was the brown sugar.
Amen.
It's not brown sugar, it's butter.
That's right, brown sugar and butter. Most recipes start with one of those two things in our house. We've also got Don Stabley here of Stabley Home Entertainment Systems. Don, again, I want to thank you for taking time out of your family time and coming and joining us. We're talking about favorite family recipes. I want to get into big screen TVs, but tell us at your house, when you're out there barbecuing, what is it the family's just dying for you to pull off that grill?
For me not to cook. Pizza Hut. Dad, can we order Pizza Hut?
Yeah. Dad's at the grill. Somebody call delivery.
Or 911.
All right. Romy, you've got a... when we were at your house, you've got a...
You know, there's the Barbecue Bible cookbook I got from Barbecues Galore. I tell you what, I mean, it is just, you need a new recipe. I mean, this thing's a couple, at least 1,000 pages. Flip that open, find something new. And there is a section high on the hog that has an incredible recipe for a pork loin. Now, I'm not going to go into the extensive detail of it, but the ingredients include garlic, rosemary, salt, black pepper, vinegar oil, and then just your pork loin. But you butterfly the pork loin so it's round. You cut it in half, but not all the way through, so it folds in two. And then you do the same again, so now it's in four pieces. And you mix all these ingredients together, rub it, roll it back up, tie it with butcher. And if I'm going on the gas grill, I'll wrap it in foil and then just leave it. And it cooks it evenly. If I'm going on the charcoal grill, you know, I'll rotate it to give it that color and that flavor on all sides. Talk about – and then you just slice it. Serve it over rice. Talk about a good, fairly easy and fast recipe to put together. And I tell you what, when everybody in the house eats it and asks for more, it becomes
a
family favorite.
It's a good day for you.
Yeah, baby.
But in my mind, it's hard to just beat a great New York ribeye steak. Just seared hard and fast, set off to the side, let it reach its medium rare in the indirect heat. But that is hard to beat. You do some caramelized onions on top of that with some mushrooms. And
nothing better than a good steak.
Anything wrapped in bacon, too.
Oh, yes.
Let's go back and talk about, now that we've got our favorite recipes of it, and now I'm really hungry, let's go back to talking about this outdoor kitchen. We've talked about its placement. We've talked about some of the accessories for it. We've talked about, one of the things we talked about was shade and how important that is. But, boy, the other side of that is lighting as well.
Try cooking outside at night and not have good, proper light. You know, every barbecue manufacturer sells these little chintzy, in my opinion, chintzy little lights. You know, they sell right next to it. You got to have a good light above you. You got to have a good working light, just like you do in your kitchen. If you don't have good lighting in your kitchen while you're preparing your food, it's hard.
It is hard. And not only for the direct light onto the barbecue so you can see what you're doing in the work surface, but there's area lighting. There's task lighting. There's mood lighting. I mean, lighting done correctly in the backyard is an art.
Amen. Yes. You know, and it's one that if you drive through many Arizona neighborhoods, I wish we'd see more good outdoor lighting jobs. I think it's one area of our outdoor living here in Arizona that I think a lot of homeowners could improve upon relatively easily with really good, high-quality, low-voltage systems.
Oh, man. And, Don, I have to tell you one thing. After cooking that steak and setting the lighting in the backyard, there's nothing I like more than to sit down in my favorite little easy chair back there on the back patio Saturday evenings in the fall, and then I turn on the big-screen TV. I turn both of them on. I watch LSU football turned on loud through all the speakers you mounted out for me. I love it.
Isn't that great? Isn't that great? It's almost like heaven on earth.
How about TVs outside? Let's talk about that.
Well, you know what? Most people have a cover, so undercover, so you don't have to really hide your TV, you know, from the elements, which is good. If you do, we did talk about before about TVs that can go outside, that can be exposed to elements. A good TV outside, maybe not one you want to spend a lot of money on, because, you know, it'll absorb some heat and absorb some dust and may get a little bit of elements to it. But a good TV outside?
Seems like the biggest enemy to a TV outside is the glare on the screen.
They've kind of come a long way. You know, they've got a lot of filters on them, the screens and stuff, you know, that can prevent, you know, a little bit of glare. You can get a little tilt on it, too, to take the edge of the glare off as well.
And we relied on shade screens strategically located behind us, behind the viewers, to take a lot of that off. That works really well, too, just kind of blacking out your outdoor environment just a little bit.
That helps great. That is excellent.
That helped a ton, absolute ton. Yeah, there's nothing better than fixing your favorite little barbecue, sitting down in your favorite chair, and then just blast the whole neighborhood out with your live favorite football game on Saturday afternoon.
Your neighbors love you.
Well, now, one of the things I learned in outdoor systems from you a long time ago was don't point the speakers towards your neighbor.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, so you would want to go out there and actually redirect the speakers from your back wall back in towards the house.
Yep, so that you take most of the brunt for the sound and it doesn't affect most of your neighbors. But if you're going to turn it up really loud, they're going to hear it.
They're going to hear it. But it is incredible the difference that makes, the directions of the speakers.
Yes, sir.
I mean, my neighbors hardly ever mention being able to hear us, and there for a while when I had it the old way with the speakers mounted at the house pointing out to the back. We'd hear from them on a little bit of occasion once in a while.
Well, they're LSU fans.
Well, they are now. They are now. Nathan, you were talking about other accessories for that outdoor kitchen. You had mentioned outdoor ovens other than the pizza ovens.
Yeah, a lot of the high-end grill manufacturers are actually making fully rated regular ovens for the outdoor environment. And it's it really does allow you just to really do everything you want to do outside.
And cooking outside, particularly if you could get it to be gas.
Yes.
Those are gas?
Those are gas. Those are typically gas.
That's very nice, because now you're not doing any heating of the inside kitchen area. You're not using any electric, and you can be on the rate of use, daytime use plan, and not only be enjoying it more, but saving some money as well.
Absolutely.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. If you'd like to talk through what your backyard paradise could look like, hey, it's different for everybody. What do you have in mind? What do you need? What are your hobbies? As listeners are very well aware, football is one of the cornerstones. But you know what? That's not all year long. There's a lot of other things going on. We do bocce's, probably one of the old family games that has been around for a long time that we always seem getting. Trampolines are a big part of it. Swimming pools during the heat. It's all different for all different types of the season, and we're here to help you turn yours into whatever helps make your family memories last. It's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. In studio with Don Stabley of Stabley Home Electronics and Nathan Angel, Bellegarde Pavers. Back after this.